Welcome to the Relationship Anxiety Podcast. I'm your host, Mikkel, and today we're talking about, is my partner the one? Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the podcast today. So, y'all gotta make sure that you get inside Rewrite the Love Story. This is a live experience I am holding for you all. Wednesday, February 21st at 7 p.m. And this experience, you are going to be able to walk into it with feeling confusion, feeling fear, feeling like unsure and like very focused on everyone else's story. And you are going to be able to walk away with feeling a sense of ease about your relationship and your own love story, a sense of peace around it that you haven't experienced before. It's going to be really cool. We're going to walk you through some live tools and experiences so that you can shift how you are energetically feeling about the relationship. So it's gonna be really, really cool. Go grab your seat at relationshipanxiety.com/workshop. Now, today I wanna talk to you guys about the question, is my partner the one? I had a woman recently comment on one of my posts on Instagram, and she said something I just loved, and it made me like, ooh, we need to talk about this. She wrote, love isn't about finding the one, but you and your partner growing into the one. And I was like, yes, I love that. The one is a term that we throw around a lot, right? People talk about finding the one. And I just want to offer you guys a few thoughts on it that have been really, really helpful for me. First thing is, the one is going to be the person that you decide to be the one. The person that you are choosing intentionally to be the one. There is not one predetermined person out there that is meant for you and that you have to have in your life. I truly believe that the one is someone that we create our life with, that we can grow into and build that, and that we ultimately choose it. Someone being the one is not this thing that just like exists and we find it. It is something that we create. One of my coaches said how she had a relationship that was good, but she didn't know if it was like it, right? She didn't know if he was the one. And she was like, you know, the relationship was good, but there was also a lot of to it. And, you know, like she was kind of half-hearted about it, and so was he. And then at one point she decided, like, I just want to try believing he's the one and trusting he's the one. And then what she did was she started showing up in the relationship differently. She started giving a better energy. She started seeing him through more loving eyes. And he started mirroring that back to her as well. And over time, as she practiced believing he was the one, all of a sudden it started truly feeling like, yeah, he's the one. Not because like he just was the one and she found it, but because she was cultivating that belief. Someone being the one is not this just absolute externalized thing. We can just like take a blood test for and be like, yep, you guys are a match. It's a belief that's cultivated. And this is why we can see someone. I literally have been witnessing someone go through a breakup and a divorce, and I shouldn't laugh, but I was seeing an old post where they were saying like, I just knew you were the one. Now here we are, fast forward, and they don't believe that anymore. The one is not this thing you know and find. It's something you believe in and then cultivate and grow. Now, one thing that I think is so important to note here is I think a lot of times when we talk about the one, we have it stores up all of our beliefs around love. And we believe that there is going to be this one perfect person that will fill us up and will complete and fill in every gap in our hearts. Every bit of discontentment that exists within us, this person outside of us is going to be able to fix and fill for us. Now, you can have a really good relationship where they meet a lot of the things you would like, and yet feel a sense of discontentment, feel like things are missing. And I think this is where our brain kicks in and says, ooh, they must not be the one because you feel discontent, right? And I was supposed to be happily ever after and completely satisfied now. And I just think about how a lot of times the reason this happens is because I don't personally believe another human being can fill us up and complete us. I think we are looking for a human to do a job that only God can do. That we are looking for imperfect human love to replace the love from God and from Christ, that is what completes us and that is what fills us up. And then when that is our base layer that we're operating out of, now another human can be beautiful love to add into our life on top of it. But when we are not fully allowing that to be the love that we are focused on and centered in, and we, in today's day and age, I think we really kind of worship the idea of finding this one person, when finding the one is your God and the thing that you are idolizing and worshiping, you will constantly be searching because you are looking for something that is not earthly. You are looking for a love that is not available from another human. You are looking for a heavenly type of love. And I truly believe that often when we are looking for the one, and that feeling we are seeking for is actually coming from God and from Christ. And that is the love that we so desperately need and crave. And when we are centered on that love, it makes room for us to grow our relationship into what we want, to turn that person into the one, and for us to become the one, for us to shift into the one. Because we get so focused on who our partner is being, but yet, can we turn the mirror back around and recognize where we too are imperfect, where we too have flaws and struggles, and we look for the other person to complete us, right, rather than God, and we want them to be perfect rather than recognizing they're not perfect, I'm not perfect, right? Perfection comes through Christ. And am I striving to perfect myself? Am I becoming the type of person the one would want to be with? That was a concept that really, really changed my relationship for me, was when I shift the focus off of him and I put a mirror back on myself. And I started owning all the ways that I was behaving. Like, I wanted my partner to be a dream guy, but no way, shape, or form was I being a dream girl. I wasn't. I was being critical and nitpicky and like anxious and high strung. And I mean, I still have these patterns and tendencies. I've really adjusted them, but you know, that's where my natural human brain wants to go. But the dream guy wasn't going to be with me. And rather than looking for him to be perfect and me to be perfect and then us come together, I opened my mind up to, what if I become the one and he becomes the one? And it's through the process of us being together and us growing, me shifting my heart into becoming more loving, me refining my own flaws and weaknesses and releasing my expectations. And also that through our relationship, it's a container. He can do the same, that he can grow and he can evolve. And ultimately, again, that happens as we both are centered in Christ's love and allowing that to be the basis of our life, rather than looking for each other to complete us, because neither of us is capable of doing that. And one last thing I want to offer you on the idea of the one. Our words matter. The language we use matters. And sometimes some words don't resonate with us because they just don't fit emotionally for us. Has nothing to do with us or our relationship. It's just like that wording doesn't work. So for example, I have a goal I'm working on in my business, and I told one of my coach friends about it. I was trying to have fun with my goal. And my coach friend was like, I don't think, for me, when I think about trying to make something fun and a goal, it stresses me out more, because then I'm like putting a lot of pressure on it to be fun. versus just like focusing on the goal. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. The word fun makes you feel like that. And that same kind of logic applies with some of these different thoughts we get hung up on. When you get really hung up on things like the one or right or in love, and you're obsessing over like if those thoughts are true or not, I would consider that maybe that language does not work for you. Like for me, you know, some people will ask me like, well, how did you finally figure out your partner is right? And I'm like, I didn't. I stopped solving for that question and I stopped using that kind of language. I stopped thinking about relationships in terms of they are right or wrong, because those are just words we use. That's not an actual thing where relationships are right or wrong. Those are just words that people use to describe. It's a made up concept, an idea. It's a thought for a relationship to be right or wrong. And for some people, thinking this is right, that works for them and it feels exciting and fun, which is awesome for them. But for me, and for a lot of you guys listening, labeling something as right does not empower you. It does not feel useful to look at your relationship in the lens of right or wrong. So for me, I just don't use those words. I don't think of my relationship as right, and I don't think of it as wrong. Whenever the word right or wrong is getting thrown around, I start to get perfectionistic. It's in my relationship. It's in my work. It's in my podcast. It's in my friendships, how I use my time, my money, like all of it. When I start thinking about using it the right way, doing things the right way, immediately stress and anxiety and perfectionism kicks in. I have found the word right does not work for me. The word right is very wrong for me personally. And so you are allowed to choose the language you use. Just because other people define their relationship in terms of the one or right doesn't mean that is language that you need to use, because that language may not work for you. So that's the last thing I want you guys to consider, is you're allowed to believe they're the one. You're allowed to just believe that. Your partner is able to become the one, and so are you. You can start shifting your focus to recognizing that ultimately God and Jesus Christ are the one that you are looking for. And lastly, maybe just even dropping the term the one altogether. If you release that, like, you know what? That's a concept, a term that some love poet came up with, and then our whole society started idolizing it. But I don't have to use it. I don't have to operate out of that idea. If the concept of the one feels empowering for you and believing that in your relationship works, awesome, use it. But again, if you notice it adds that stress, it puts a lot of pressure on the relationship. And anything that is adding pressure is going to take away your ability to have fun and enjoy it and let yourself just naturally grow in it. This is your relationship and you get to do it your way, which means you don't have to use the words other people use. If the one doesn't work for you, you don't need to use that. If that concept doesn't work for you, it's okay to let that go. And again, I realize easier said than done, which this is a lot of the work we're going to be doing in Rewrite the Love Story, is learning how to let go of some of those stories and that language we've been offered by other people around relationships and love. So we want to step into being the author of our own story. And you get to write what you want. And you get to use the words you want. So just when your brain offers you like, ooh, is this right? Are they the one? You don't have to use that language if it doesn't work for you. You are the author of your own story. You're allowed to believe it. You're allowed to trust they're the one. You're allowed to shift the focus to who actually is the one. You're allowed to grow into the one. And you're just allowed to let go of that concept altogether. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in today, guys. Have a beautiful weekend. We'll talk next week. Bye.